Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show at KRFY 88.5, and this is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho, and we're sitting here in this nice warm studio. We are live, and we have lots of guests coming in this morning. This is a special time of year for KRFY, and I'm here with my co-hosts. I'm Susie Perez, by the way, and hi, Chris. Good morning. And you are?
I'm Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It seemed like another one of those, I don't know if it's the sun comes out when on Wednesday, only on Wednesday.
That's not actually a real rule, but we've had some kind of nice sunny days. And of course, we're getting this morning fog with kind of some burning off in the afternoon. So it's really been pretty nice for this time of year. And as you mentioned, we're having kind of a special show today. We're going to be talking with folks who help support KRFY. It's kind of the time of year we like to do that. We're going to be speaking with underwriters. We have four different underwriters coming in, and we have with us this morning Sean Eakin from Winter Ridge. Hi, Sean.
Good morning.
As well as John Hagedon from Idaho Poor Authority. John.
Hi, Chris. Susie.
Good morning.
And we're going to come back and talk to you guys about the why of why support community radio, and find out a little bit more about your businesses as well.
That's right. You know, our underwriters are an important part of what makes community radio possible anywhere in the country. And community radio is a unique radio adventure. I would call it an adventure because it really invites the community to be a part of what we're doing here. And in a small community in North Idaho, how wonderful that we have a community radio station.
Yeah, it's actually kind of unusual for a small town like ours to
I think
have
it really
a community
is.
Radio.
A few years ago, I went to a National Federation of Community Radio Broadcasters convention, and there aren't very many rural community radio stations. They're usually in big towns or in universities, things like that. So we're very, very fortunate.
It's indicative of the kind of community we have here where people really do, they get an idea that helps generate more community. That's what this is about. And they get behind it. We have a very tight community that way, I think.
I think this is a great example of that exactly. But before we get to talking with our valued underwriters here, and we have two more coming in at 8:30. At 8:30, we have Ned Brandenburg from Sandpoint Property Management and Charlie Parrish from Evergreen Realty. But right now, we have Idaho Poor Authority, John Hagedon, and Sean Eakins from the new manager at Winter Ridge, our favorite natural food store. But first, the weather from the National Weather Service. Currently, they're saying it's 32 degrees. We have decreasing clouds, and there's a little bit of sunshine coming out on their graphics. High today went up to 37, and low tonight, patchy fog, freezing fog, 22. Tomorrow, we can expect a high of 34 with areas of freezing fog, then cloudy, and tomorrow night, that's Thursday night, areas of freezing fog and low of 23. And it kind of goes on like that for a while.
Yeah, we're kind of in that kind of a holding pattern with that type of weather, it looks like.
It's funny when you think about it. 37 high today, I got very excited. It was like, okay, it's warming up.
Some other things going on outside. The sunrise this morning was at 7:21 a.m. It'll set tonight at 3:52 p.m. Our days are still shrinking. We lost 12 minutes of daylight per day in the last week, but we're really close now to the winter solstice. That's just 2 weeks away, December 21st, and at that point, every day gets a little bit longer, so we start heading towards summer, so that's kind of exciting.
In other words, we will survive two more weeks.
We're almost over the hump. It's kind of amazing how fast that happens. Schweitzer has got... Actually, they have a pretty decent snowpack happening. They have 38 inches up at the summit. There's 17 inches in the village. They don't have any new snow the past 24 hours, but skiing is occurring up there for folks that haven't got up to the mountain yet. Up in the skies, the last quarter moon will be Sunday. We had the full moon last Sunday. And as you mentioned, we have mostly sunny skies coming, or some spotty sunny skies coming here for the next week.
Was the full moon a special full moon?
Yeah, it was. It was a super moon.
A super moon. What does that mean, Chris?
Well, that means the moon has a slightly elliptical orbit around the Earth, and at some points in the orbit, it's closer than it is in others. So it was at its closest approach that it makes, And it was like 15% brighter and 8% larger, or at least appeared that way in the sky. Now, that's not really that detectable by the naked eye, but if it seemed kind of bright this weekend, it was, because the moon was a little bit bigger and brighter than usual. Other things going on in our town this week. Of course, we're in the season right now. There's a ton of seasonal happenings, Christmas parties by different organizations going on over the place, all over the place. One big one is the Bonner General Health Festival of Trees. It's happening now through Thursday. And on Saturday, there's going to be a illusionist at the Panada Theater. His name's David Da Vinci. He's called a thrillusionist. That means he combines thrills with illusions, I believe. So that would be pretty cool. If you're into magic, I think that'd be a great one to take kids to as well. And there's, again, there's a ton of things going on in this town, a lot of holiday happenings. You can find out details on each of those at the KRFY community calendars at krfy.org or Sandpoint Online, which provides those calendars. And with that, Susie.
Let's get to our guests. How's that?
Yes.
Okay. We have John Hagedun from the Idaho Poor Authority. You know, I just start out with the Idaho Poor Authority. And John, you started this really cool thing here in our town. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your business and what it is, what it does, and why you came to Sandpoint and opened up a beer shop?
Well, I didn't come to Sandpoint. I was born here. Oh, I'm a native.
You didn't have a choice.
My family's been here a long time. That's part of the reason why I opened that business, because we own the building. It was a family-owned building since 1946. My parents were the original owners of Sandpoint Furniture, so my sisters and I had worked in there, you know, all of our younger years until my parents sold the business, but we kept the building. So that's why Idaho Port Authority is in that building. It's a perfect spot for it.
And it kind of explained to the listeners, because I know we have new people all the time. Most people know the Idaho Port Authority. It's a great name. What is it?
Well, we started out as a craft beer store, and we still are. Some people say we're not, but I guess we're a pub store. You know, we've turned into a pub and a store. We sell beer to go. We sell beer on premise. We have live music on weekends, and we do fundraisers for nonprofits in town. And that all started the first year we opened. Ninkasi Brewing Company, that was kind of their specialty, was Pints for a Cause. I got in touch with them, and that's how it all got started. So there's over 100 nonprofits in Bonner County. As far as I know, there's probably several more than that. And that's how we got started with that.
And you pick Wednesday night. It seems like a perfect night. It's right in the middle of the week. Everyone needs a good excuse to get out and do something good for our community by supporting and drinking beer. Some of these nonprofits that get to get in on that Wednesday night fundraiser.
Yeah, it really is. It breaks the week up, like you say, and there's a lot going on in Sandpoint, as Chris said. It's a busy town, you know, especially this time of year with activities and all the businesses.
In college, we would call Wednesday hump night, and it was any excuse for a, you know, because you're over the hump of the week, basically.
Yeah.
Any excuse for a party in college.
And, and the work week, too,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of breaks up the week.
It does.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. And so these fundraisers came about. How do you pick the different organizations that get to participate in the Wednesday night fundraisers?
Well, back at the beginning, we contacted them and let people know that that's what we did. I mean, we wanted to do that for Sandpoint and for Bonner County and help people raise money for their cause. And after the first year, we started to get return calls from people, oh, we want to have another fundraiser. We've done, since we've been open in 2013, we've done over 80 fundraisers, I think, a little over 80, which is quite a few. You know, if you add those up, it's a couple a month through the September through May. We don't do them in the summertime. And like I said, people want to come back because it's a good party and we do raise money.
And the format for a Wednesday night fundraiser, it's pretty painless for folks that want to come. You have a beer, and usually the sponsoring organization or the beneficiary has an opportunity to tell, you know, inform people about what they have going on with their organization. They often have raffles and fundraisers on the side, but if people that want to come to a fundraiser can just come and have a beer and know that, that in that small act, they're helping support something.
Yeah, absolutely. The breweries that we bring on board are more than happy to help a nonprofit make some money too, and they're a big part of that that night as well.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work that a nonprofit would, besides getting the word out and having a little bit of public exposure, how does it benefit this nonprofit that I know KRFY has one scheduled for next Wednesday, not this day, but next week on the 13th of December, and we're very excited. I think it's probably our sixth one.
We've done one a year, I'm sure.
At least one a year.
So that's at least mm-hmm. five, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how does it work? It's buying the... Well, we're having Fremont Brewing.
Correct.
It's buying the beer and the beer
company.
Well,
actually, we buy the beer.
Okay.
Yeah, we buy the beer from the brewery because it's illegal for breweries to just give the beer away. So we purchase the beer, and then Fremont brings a product from their brewery to donate to the raffle, like glassware and T-shirts and that kind of thing. And then they actually donate a little beer at the end of the night in growler fills. But, yeah, and then we donate a part of our proceeds as well from the beer sales, so...
So let's talk a little bit about the raffle since we're having one next Wednesday night on the 13th. I know that we have some very special raffle items besides the usual really fun things. I know Idaho Poor Authority gives some growlers and the Fremont Brewery has some, you call it swag,
right.
I think. And KRFY will have some things like that. But we have some special Christmas desserts that are going to show up. That will be part of the raffle also.
Well, that'll enhance everything for sure.
Yeah. And so then people go around and all the people that are there hanging out can buy raffle tickets.
Yeah, that's the point. You know, get them to buy tickets for sure. And a lot of the people that come to these fundraisers are part of organizations that have come to their own fundraisers. So it's like a big happy family, really. The nonprofits in Bonner County are all in it together. You know, they try to help each other out.
I always hear that saying, the same $20 just keeps going round and round.
Right.
Yeah. And so, we also have music with Doug and Marty, Doug Bond
yeah.
and Marty Perrone.
Yeah. Doug and Marty are, they're rock solid. I mean, those guys are at all of our fundraisers. They play every one of them.
I know they're really fun. They play a lot of covers that everyone loves. They must have the best set list ever for people to have a good time.
Yeah, and they really sound good together. Those guys have really got a good sound.
So, John, you're an underwriter for KRFY. That actually means, aside from supporting the radio station with allowing staging fundraisers there, that you actually contribute money to the station. Why do you choose to be an underwriter?
Well, that goes back to, you know, being from here, it's part of the community, that was always instilled in me growing up to support your hometown, you know. My parents did that for over 30 years in their business, and yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And Vicky, my wife, she's the same kind of person. She really wants to give back to the community, and that's how communities stay vibrant.
Mm-hmm. It's always a win-win, it sounds like, just to show support for the things that matter. And we really appreciate here at 88.5 KRFY the continued and sustaining support from the Idaho Poor Authority as a underwriter. And as a commercial-free radio station, we are a nonprofit, other people can join in that support by making a donation. This is what we're doing right now mm-hmm. through this next bit of time is asking our listeners to give a little extra if you've already given, if you feel like it. But if you haven't taken the opportunity to give yet this year, you can still do that. Because we're a nonprofit, your donation is tax deductible. And right now, you can go to our website, krfy.org, and there's a little donate button. It's a secure PayPal button. You can just make a donation, and we really sincerely appreciate it. It's what keeps KRFY on the air. Mm-hmm. All of the things, our underwriters, our member donations, and our volunteers. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to mention, if you don't do the internet thing, you can give us a phone call as well, 208-265-2992. And if you don't, because we are a volunteer-run organization, you don't always get a human being, but if you leave a voicemail, we'll definitely get back to you.
Yep, we just need your name and phone number, and I'll call everyone back.
Okay. John, I have one more question for you. Then we're going to talk with Sean from Winter Ridge. But you mentioned you're native. That's a rare thing in Sandpoint these days, really, it seems. What would be, in all the years you've been here, what do you think the biggest changes you've seen in town would be?
I think diversity in Sandpoint is really, you know, when I was in junior high and high school, it was a small community. The population here was obviously a lot smaller, and people, you know, that they had a state of mind that work hard, you know, take care of your family. And it was a conservative community, pretty much. It was pretty conservative. As things changed over the years, it's become more of a melting pot of people from all over the country, really, and possibly, you know, people from other countries. But I just think it's more diverse. I mean, you know, there's a higher quality of conversation that I hear now instead of the same thing that you've heard when you were young. But and I think that's good. I think it's good to have diverse community and have people with different ideas and be able to talk. And it's, you know, the restaurant scene here has really grown too. I mean, there's a lot of good food here. I think that's one of the reasons why we opened the store too, is we wanted to bring craft beer to Sandpoint. We already had craft beer here, but it was in a small quantity. There were several places in town that served it. Eichardt's for one. Eichardt's has been there for 23 years, I think. That's where, you know, craft beer was served in Sandpoint on a larger scale. You can get it at the grocery stores too, but we really wanted to give Sandpoint a large quantity of that. So,
and you have how many different?
Well, types over 300.
300. Yeah. If folks haven't been into the IPA, you should go check it out, because practically any. I drink beer, but I'm not an aficionado in that respect. But practically any kind of beer you might want or dream up, is you're going to find it there.
We try to have a good selection of a wide variety. So, and we have a lot of cider too. Mm-hmm. But we've been pushed in the direction of having more wine, but that probably won't happen. We just have enough to, you know, make people happy.
Those that don't want beer can be happy. Since 2013, when you opened, I'm sure you've seen a huge increase in the, what are those breweries, you know,
there's coming over 5,000, over 5,000 breweries in the United States right now.
Breweries and brew pubs. It's a, and there's
it's amazing.
Artisan breweries.
Yes,
small breweries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually become a thing to travel just to taste wild exotic beers in different towns.
Yeah, you can plan your vacation on how many breweries you go to.
I always thought beer was beer. You know, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, no.
Or Coors or
not
something.
At all.
Well, years and years ago. And now there's like, it's just like wine. People talk about beer like they do wine. Mm-hmm. It has these subtle notes at the end and things like that. So
beer has become more complex, for
more
sure.
Exciting.
Yeah, more flavors, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk with another underwriter we have here who contributes a ton to the community, and it also gives us, just as a commercial operation, Winter Ridge gives us an opportunity to buy types of food that we couldn't otherwise get because you specialize in natural foods. We have Sean Eakin with us. Sean, you're the manager now?
Yes, I'm the store director.
Store director, yep. Okay. And you're new in that position?
Yes, I've been here 3 weeks now.
Wow. We got both ends of the spectrum sitting here. Sean, a little bit about your personal story. How did you end up in Sandpoint?
I've been kind of a retail nomad for quite a few years. Worked with one company for almost 20 years, kind of being the guy that fixes things. But really fell in love with California years ago. Wanted to spend a little time in San Francisco and did that for a few years. But I really, you know, I grew up in a small town and I came for a visit to Sandpoint and fell in love with it. And then I saw Winter Ridge Natural Foods and they were looking for somebody to maybe take them up another notch from where they already have been for 20 years. And I just felt like what a great opportunity. And it was nice to drive into a small town and, you know, I actually got to visit John's place and see the community at large and visited the Panada and really got the full effect in a short time period. And just fell in love with what I saw.
Feeling any culture shock yet from the Bay Area?
A little bit, but, and then the weather, I was used to fog, but probably about 25 degrees warmer on average. But, it feels good, though. Nice, clean, crisp air is nice.
You mentioned you grew up in a small town. Where was that?
grew up in New Jersey.
Okay.
And then finished growing up in Florida. So okay. I had a little bit and lived in Canada for a while and kind of everywhere else in between.
Winter, tell us a little bit more about Winter Ridge itself, the types of foods you carry and what the goal of the store is.
Really, for the last 20 years, it's evolved around the supplements and gluten-free natural offerings. And I think it's continued to grow with the sustainable movement. You know, you talk about beer, how that's come along, and you look at the natural food industry. I think Winter Ridge is a whole lot of natural food market for a small community. For me, it's just, what can we do to make us a little bit more special than some of the competition? There's a lot of other stores that you can shop at. So to me, it's great food, great service, and just sourcing those things that are sustainable, artisan, new, local where possible, and just keep that carbon footprint a little bit smaller.
I'm just going to bring in a little personal note. I know that all of our big grocery stores have health food sections, but shopping at Winter Ridge is a different experience than going into a big grocery store. And for a lot of people, I think that's a big part of it too. Besides for a small store, basically, you have the amount or the kinds of variety that you have is outstanding. So part of it is the shopping experience. Even if something's on sale somewhere else, it's sometimes you just want to be in a nice environment that feels different. I'm just going to say that. That's my experience anyways. I can do that.
I'll mention a couple other things since I shop there as well. You have a pretty darn good wine selection, actually. And the wines are priced competitively, I think. So I throw that out there for folks that are interested in wine. Are you going to be involved in picking like brands and
yes.
types of things like that?
Yes, and actually wine's one of them I was looking at. I think there's a good selection, and I just know there's some more diversity we can bring with wine as well. And then we're looking at doing some different things with our cheese selection and then just some other small artisan, people that are making things that are really great food, taste mm-hmm. great, but they also do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's sustainable farming or, organics, it's kind of meets all those measures. But to me, it's got to taste good too. Mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing is it's not that, gluten-free healthy years ago tasted like cardboard. Now there's like some really, really fine food out there. And for me, I think to your point, it's a community, and it's nice to go on the Winter Ridge, and you've got a community that's built around food and good health, and I think people share that in common.
Mm-hmm.
Did Winter Ridge recently buy that parking lot or lease the parking lot next door?
Yes.
Did they buy it or lease it?
Lease it.
Because it's always overflowing now. I mean, mm-hmm. you pull in, you can't find a parking spot. I mean, but there's that whole other lot now, and I have a feeling that will be used more and more and more.
And I think the educational center that we have there, we really want to use that, utilize it even more, and just for education around good food and just a more community mm-hmm. involvement.
There's a little interesting history of that location. It started, it was built as, and John will know this better than I do probably, it was built as a supermarket. And when I knew it, it was called Geno's, I think.
The original business was the Rogers.
Right. Okay.
Family.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they also owned another grocery store where Super One is, or not Super One, but Sandpoint Superdrug.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then it evolved and it became an auto parts store. because there was the trend towards the big Safeway style of stores. And then Winter Ridge came back to it as a food store, but they only had half of it for a few years. And then they expanded to the whole thing. So it's been kind of neat to see that building kind of reanimate as its original intent was, as a grocery store.
I think when I first moved here, it was still a grocery store, but it was kind of going out. And so then we went to Harold's IGA. Mm-hmm. And then Harold's IGA became a band. Now we have a band called Harold's IGA. Well, so
yeah,
there's
Harold's
the
IGA.
Evolution.
Yeah, we have a fond spot in our heart for Harold's IGA. It was where the Columbia Bank building is now. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a small hometown sort of grocery store, although on a lot different track than Winter Ridge, I'll say that.
But now Winter Ridge brings back that feeling of a small, you know, grocery store that really serves our community in such a great way. And we want to again thank Winter Ridge for being a valued underwriter here at KRFY.
Absolutely.
I want to throw out another shout because I like Winter Ridge. they have a great deli. And if folks haven't tried their deli, you can go there. They have a hot bar. They have a salad bar. There's always good stuff to eat. And anything you get in there is going to taste great. It's a great place to grab lunch, or you can grab your meal for home. It's basically a home-cooked meal you can take with you.
Yes.
And there's usually a curry of the day. And everyone loves curry these
Absolutely.
Days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So... in terms of being an underwriter for KRFY, as Susie mentioned, we really appreciate that. How does that reflect what the mission of Winter Ridge is to support community?
I think it goes back to, you know, it's like that heartfelt, you know, small town community. Like you said, small towns don't usually have a station like this. And I think media is everything's going to a handheld now. Mm-hmm. It's nice to still have some communal radio where you can listen to what's going on in the community. And I think it's great to support the arts and radio is a great medium, you know, that I don't know that everybody appreciates these mm-hmm. days. So it's nice.
I think it's emerging a media source. And just like Winter Ridge evolved over 20 years and Idaho Poor Authority is evolving over the last 5-6 years, KRFY is evolving too, and I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg of how KRFY, our community radio station, can serve our community. And as time goes on, we will continue to find new ways to do that.
And again, I want to say thanks to Winter Ridge as well as IPA, Idaho Poor Authority, for your sponsorship as underwriters for KRFY.
Yep, thank you so much, Winter Ridge and Idaho Poor Authority, John. And Sean.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have more guests coming in here in just a few minutes. We have Ned Brandenburg from Sandpoint Property Management and Charlie Parrish from Evergreen Realty. But we're going to put on a song while we shift gears and bring new people on. This is Jackson Brown, Running on Empty. And the reason we're playing this song is it was released as an album 40 years ago, today in 1977, and this is the featured song, or what do you call that? The song that is the same
name. The title song.
The title song from the album, Running on Empty. And we'll be right back. Stay with us. This is 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Most of the song, Jackson Brown's Running on Empty, and this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show. We are live here in the studios, downtown Sandpoint. And this is our community radio station. It's listener supported. And during this special end of the year giving appeal that KRFY is hosting, we have invited some of our underwriters into the station to tell us about why they are underwriters and to tell us about their business, because it is an opportunity we can take and find out. And so right now we have Charlie Parrish from Evergreen Realty.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Ned Brandenburg from Sandpoint Property Management.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thank you guys for coming in. And, you know, I think a lot of people in town probably are familiar with both of you. But let's assume we have some folks listening that aren't familiar already with Evergreen Realty and Sandpoint Property Management. So, Charlie, tell us about Evergreen Realty and give us a little bit of the history of the company and how you came to be involved with it yourself.
Evergreen Realty was established in Sandpoint in 1986. We had moved to Sandpoint in 1984 and actually began as a building development company up at Schweitzer. And in 2 years after that, we decided we would become salespeople as well, because we already were. We were selling our own products. So subsequent to that, we built about 150 condominium units up at Schweitzer and have been involved in real estate sales for just over 30 years now. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
So Schweitzer's always been a big part of Evergreen Realty.
Correct.
Yeah.
We've always felt that was one of our primary markets in this area.
So starting in 86, I wish I would have bought a condo then.
Oh, me too.
I might mention that one of the condos we built in 1986 that I sold, I believe, for $100,000. I have just listed for $495,000.
So that's what's happened to the real estate values at the mountain.
In certain areas, in certain prime locations, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
So over the years, you've really seen the real estate and the property picture here in Northern Idaho change quite a bit.
Yes, lots of ebbs and lots of flows. We've just gotten through one long ebb.
Okay, yeah. So
yeah, but we're in the flow.
We are
right
starting
now.
To flow now. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So that goes to a question: What do you foresee for our property values? Because we have a problem with affordable housing in Sandpoint, where the property values are getting beyond what people that are working in the local economy with a kind of prevailing wage structure.
Right. Ned might be able to shed a little more light on that than myself. I personally have been primarily involved in the second home market. And other than trying to help out where I can on starter situations and that kind of thing, I haven't been as intimately involved with that. But I do know that it's becoming a problem. Schweitzer is just kicked off a new long-term plan. And one of the items on their list is how do they handle housing for people that work on the mountain? And it's a big question mark, and it's something they're going to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. So
the good news is it is being paid attention to.
Yes, definitely.
You mentioned that you know a lot of your business is with second homes. Is there a measure, a metric for how many second homeowners there are in the county?
No. Most of my buyers actually come from the Spokane area. There are some local in Coeur d'Alene as well, but I would say Spokane is our number one market as far as Schweitzer goes. As other second homes, like on the lake, for instance, that will probably go to a broader area, perhaps as far as Seattle. And that's actually the east side of Seattle is an area that Schweitzer is wanting to get more involved with as mm-hmm. far as bringing folks over for 3 and 4 day weekends.
Mm-hmm. You say that Evergreen Realty... You mentioned that you focus on second homes, but that's
correct.
Not what
no.
all of Evergreen Realty
that's
does.
That's correct.
So it's a full-fledged realty office
that is correct.
That's serving
yes.
anyone that's looking for anything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and one of the – you have agents that have been here a long time. I know some of them have lived here for many years, and they have all kinds of clients and all from all walks of life.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So – here's the question. We're here because you're an underwriter for KRFY. We should mention you also just happen to be the president of the board of KRFY. So you're contributing financially through your company, but you're also personally involved, Charlie. The question would be why? Why are you putting your time and in treasure into this radio station?
Well, I'll tell the story that I try to tell when I can. I got to know Scott Daly back in 08, 09, 10, and it was his dream to have a radio station, community-supported radio station in Sandpoint. And unfortunately, Scott had to deal with cancer during those years, and... passed away in August of 2011, and I think I was the last person to speak to him. And he handed the radio station's baton off to me that day. So that's where I started.
You don't have a choice with
that's
that
correct.
Kind of a handoff. I have a feeling that without Scott, we probably wouldn't all be sitting here right now.
Absolutely.
That's kind of how his dream was so... special to him and important. And he picked the right person to hand it off to, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
More to that point, I was looking forward to having a different take on the news of the day. At that point in time, we had Al Jazeera and also Democracy Now. We, unfortunately, Al Jazeera is no longer being broadcast, but I think Amy Goodman gives us a perspective that we don't hear from any other source. And it's that kind of thing that keeps me involved.
And we also have, talking about syndicated news shows coming from outside of the area, we have Letters in Politics in the evening from 5 to 6 with Mitch Jezerik.
Right.
Yeah, with the national news. I don't know if you caught the broadcast this morning, Democracy Now! Heck of an interview with Daniel Ellsberg.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah. And it's just a sample of the type of programming that we do have here at the radio station right. at KRFY. It's an eclectic, different mix, but we have great music during the day, but we have a ton of really good, informative, thought-provoking news, current events, talk shows that we broadcast as well. And you can see the entire lineup for that on our website if you go to krfy.org.
And so we thank Evergreen Realty for the substantial amount of support that KRFY has due to your generosity. So Evergreen Realty, thank you, Charlie Parrish. And now we want to talk with Ned Brandenburg. You've been
good morning.
Good morning. You've been here just about as long supporting this station as anyone, as far as I can remember. And so thank you so much, Ned, Sandpoint Property Management. And what do you see? Tell us about Sandpoint Property Management. What is the scope of the service that you offer in our community?
Well, Sandpoint Property Management, I think we started in 1993. And just a real quick story, Phil Austin and I saw an apartment building, an older apartment building in town, and we decided that it would be a good investment, and we were trying to figure out how to buy it. We convinced Paul Barthow, between the bottom of the chairlift and the top, to come in.
that was to loan us some money. Ride.
Exactly. On the high speed quad. So by the time we got to the top, we were in business together, and then they both promptly left town. Paul went to Turkey and Phil went to Whitefish, Montana. So I was in the property management business, and I had actually always been interested in the business. My wife, when we came to town, she's a CPA. So we had a public accounting firm here for, I think, over 20 years. So it has been a good business. It's been good to us in this town. And you know, our focus is on residential rentals and multifamily, and also commercial real estate. We do commercial leasing and commercial management, and also I'm an associate broker at Evergreen Realty, so I do sell commercial real estate as well. So I think we have in the office we have 9 full-time employees, and then 3 full-time employees in the field. In the maintenance division, as well as several part-time employees. So, mm-hmm.
So you'll help somebody that does have a second home, for instance, but isn't it? You'll manage, keep an eye on their property when they're not here. That's one of your services.
Absolutely, yeah. So we primarily deal with investors, investment property. We are, our focus is not vacation rentals. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have any. Mm-hmm. So they're all long-term investment properties.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side of that, for the people looking for a place to live, you're one of the go-to, maybe the most go-to place for somebody that's coming to town looking for a place to rent.
Yes, mm-hmm. for a residence or a long-term rental, I think we're the source. So mm-hmm. We are the source. So you, if you're looking for a single-family home or maybe an apartment unit, something like that, we're a good place to go. Also, if you're bringing your business to town or you're expanding your business.
The commercial aspect of leasing.
The commercial aspect, yeah. Sandpoint Property Management's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. I just
we'll help you out.
I just want to throw out another way that Sandpoint Property Management has supported KRFY over the years is every spring in June, actually, we have hosted a off-site on Main Street kind of membership drive. And a few years ago, you opened up the old JCPenney building. I know there's another name for that building. It's
Well, we call it the Crosby building.
Crosby.
Because, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the Crosbys own it.
Okay. The Crosby family, like from Spokane.
And the Crosby famous. Family. So we have Ed and Howard, so we have to thank them as well for opening up that space for KR.
Well, it was a perfect place for us to have a party and have our membership drive, and we had music and people came in. It was really fun. So thank you for all the support that you, Ned, and Jennifer have given to KRFY and Sandpoint Property Management as an underwriter and just as a general donor. You always show up at the Idaho Poor Authority events we have too, usually.
Yes, those are a lot of fun.
And it involves beer, so it's
not
too much work.
You know, in addition to, you know, we actually feel like we get a lot more back, so for
so gotcha. Beer is part of the
ingredient. That's part of the equation, but that's a small part of it.
Well, you're in luck because next Wednesday night on the 13th of December, we are having another one of those fundraisers at the Idaho Poor Authority. So you're
and
invited.
I will be there.
Okay. I think it's a good time to mention that if you're a listener and you also want to support your community radio station, KRFY, you can do that. You could go to our website, KRFY.org, and there's a donate button there. If you don't do internet, you can call us up at 208-265-2992. You might get our voicemail, just leave a message and we'll give you a call back. Or you can just come by our office. We actually have a physical presence in this town. We're not merely an ethereal voice out among the airwaves. We're at 323 North First Avenue upstairs. There's often someone around that could meet you and greet you. You'd get a chance to see our lavish studios here.
Yep.
We welcome people to walk in off the street and say hello that way. And of course, your donations are tax deductible. You have to check with your accountant on how that affects your personal tax situation. But we're a 501c3 nonprofit. And this time of year, if you're considering giving, we very much appreciate if you consider helping support the community radio station, where we're doing our best to support all the other things that happen in this community.
And I don't know if you mentioned it because I wasn't really listening to you for a few minutes, but you can also go to our website at KRFY.org.
That's what my wife says too, so that's okay.
I knew it. At KRFY.org, and we have a donate button, and it's a secure PayPal button. You can just make a donation there. We'd love to see those donations coming in because it is three things, as far as I can tell from being here for 5 years, that support our station. It's our valued underwriters, such as Evergreen Realty and Sandpoint Property Management, and the whole list of underwriters. It's also our member, listener, donors. I know that there's one donor that gives to us every year, and I say, do you listen to the station? What's your... I don't really, but... because I don't have a radio, and when I'm in my car, I do. But I love the fact that we have a community radio station here. And when I do, I want to be able to listen to commercial-free radio on the airwaves and have it be local and hear people I know. So that's why we're reaching out to our public right now to make an extra donation, become a member, or renew your membership. Either any way you look at it, we appreciate everyone's support here at KRFY. And speaking of coming up to the station, I'm usually here on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and would love to give you a tour of the broadcast studio. And you could even make a request for a special song. We could put that on.
Yeah. And we'll mention this as well. KRFY is a nonprofit organization. It's really run by volunteers. We have a couple of part-time staff. But everybody that you hear broadcasting over the air, their voice, that person is donating their time because they just want to contribute to the community that we have here. And we have opportunities for volunteers. We always do. You could not just be a person that gets on a microphone and does the broadcasting, but we have all kinds of help that we need during the course of the year to make this radio station work. Running a radio station 24/7, it takes a lot of hands, many hands make light work, as they say.
Mm-hmm. We even have volunteer orientation training that we conduct about 4 times a year. So if you want to become a volunteer, we'll help you get involved. And also, if you want to become a broadcaster, we have broadcaster training. And yes, you will get to run the board and become a broadcaster if you choose to.
Well, it just takes some learning. I want to swing back to Ned Brandenburg from Sandpoint Property Management, a valued underwriter. Ned, I asked Charlie a little earlier about the affordable housing question. You know, we actually have a problem with affordable housing here. What's your take on that? And do you see enough action being taken to help assure there is a housing for our workforce here?
Well, I think the city has done a good job of working on it, trying to create a market where there's additional affordable housing. You see all these subsidized units going up behind Super One. I think that's helpful. What's happened is, a lot of our investors have been, they were struggling during the recession. Some of them purchased housing here during the real estate boom, 2006. So now finally the real estate market has come back. And so they're taking the opportunity to sell their unit. So that's one aspect that's created a shortage. I think what the core problem is that the median income for a working couple, according to United Way, I think is $42,000, which according to United Way, so a family, two adults, two kids, they can afford just under $700 a month for rent. And you really can't rent much for under $700 in mm-hmm. Bonner County. Mm-hmm. So
it might almost be easier to buy something.
It might be. If you had credit, you might mm-hmm. be able to get it.
And there's close. The Bonner yeah. Community Housing Agency, which is trying to help people get into first homes. Is the environment happening now that we might see investors getting interested in putting up lower cost sorts of housing that could be either for rent or for sale?
I think, this is happening. There is a lag. We don't have, if you go to Coeur d'Alene or Post Falls, you see bigger builder, like Hayden Homes coming into the market. And I think we have a Monarch Homes that's building out there in Kootenay. But there is a lag. So there's, there is a shortage of affordable housing in Bonner County. And usually, as the price comes up, more people enter the market. There is a little bit of a ceiling because, there's the working wages around here are a little bit low. So, it's tough mm-hmm. for families.
Well, that's a topic we could dig in on a whole show by
itself.
And
I was thinking we're going to have to have you back in with the housing authority here in Sandpoint because it is a crucial topic. Mm-hmm. But right now we want to thank both Ned Brandenburg, Sandpoint Property Management, and Charlie Parrish, Evergreen Realty, for coming in, for being sustaining, valuable underwriter at KRFY, our nonprofit community commercial free radio station here in North Idaho and Sandpoint. Charlie, you have a song for us to go out with. Ned, did you want to say something?
Well, I just want to say thank you for all you do in providing community radio. There are issues that affect us here in the community that are not covered by the by national news. News and media that's not influenced by advertisers like KRFY are very important for, and a big thing for me, and I just wanted to mention this while I was on the air, is that Montana has approved further exploration on the Rock Creek Mine. And so that's a big thing that will affect us in the community. I like to listen to the morning show and hear about the candidates and local things that I'm not able to hear about from watching national news. Mm-hmm. So thank you for what you do. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And, hope we can keep this going.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And Charlie Parrish, you had a song and I have it ready, but why don't you tell us what it is? Do you have it dedicated to someone?
I think it's dedicated to the radio station.
All right.
It's a song by Jethro Tull. It's called Wondering Aloud. And if you'll notice at the very end of the song, he makes the comment that it's only the giving that makes you what you are.
Well, thank you. And well thanks said. For coming in. And here it is, Jethro Tull, Wondering Aloud. And that was Jethro Tull, Wondering Aloud. And we're here in the studios live. This is the very end of the morning show this Wednesday, December 6th, with Chris and Susie. And we just have a few more things we can say. Chris, tomorrow I did want to say, since I'm the talking one today, that tomorrow Jim Healy and Jack Peterson will be taking a good look at the very entertaining and informative 88.5 KRFY program schedule with descriptions and highlights. We have a couple of our DJs from the decades guys. We have Jerry Warren and Mike Bauer coming in, and they're just going to talk about the wonders of the KRFY program schedule.
And there are wonders to be discovered there, actually, that folks don't know about until you actually kind of see it on paper and you realize, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's something going out over the air on KRFY, and there's programming that folks probably don't even know about.
That's so right.
So worth tuning in for that. As well. And you can also see the program schedule on our website, KRFY.org, if you click on the schedule button.
I think it would be really, really cool if people went to Facebook, if they do social media, and went to KRFY and our Facebook page and liked us. Wouldn't it be great if we could get to 1,000 likes this year?
How many are we at right now?
We're at about 750.
Okay, well, we're going to have to amp that up a little bit. It's kind of a different medium, but if you're listening and you've got a Facebook page yourself, go like KRFY. You'll be able to find it if you just search for KRFY. And, of course, next Wednesday, December 13th, there's another opportunity to find out more about us and meet the folks that are on the air. That's the Meet the Crew, Have a Brew at the Idaho Poor Authority from 5 to 8 p.m. Again, that's next Wednesday, December 13th. It's actually our annual meeting. You'll get to hear about what's up with us, see a little bit about how we operate, even see what our financial situation is, which I'm happy to say is healthy in our small town, thanks to the support of people. It takes that support to make us happen, though, year-round, so it kind of never ends, our need to raise money. And, of course, this is a great time to think about giving right now.
And to continue, we have just a few moments, but we want to say thank you for tuning in, and we want to invite you to possibly go to our website right now, krfy.org. You could make a donation, since we are reaching out to our listening audience at this time and asking for an end of the year gift. And this is 88.5 KRFY, and we're going to go out with another song that Charlie Parrish picked. It's by Jethro Tull. It's called Skating Away on the Thin Ice of the New Day. We hope you have a beautiful day.
Bye now.